is the author of 6 books of poetry, including True North, The Red Virgin, a poem of Simon Weil. Is that how you... Simone Weil, sorry. A couple of classic hypertext poems, including True North, which was one of the Eastgate hypertexts that you saw this morning, in addition to a great poem, The Ballad of Sand and Hairy Soot, that I found teaching new media at a small college in New Jersey, is one of the best teaching hypertext poems because it has actual comprehensible metaphors in addition to the use of hypertext. And Stephanie is sort of a poet, sort of a jack-of-all-trades poet, who's always teaching at... Every time I see Stephanie, I need to ask her what university she's teaching at this year. Currently at Sarah Lawrence, also at the University of Montana recently. She put on a festival in Georgia last year. And the publication of her book and the project that we'll be seeing a little bit of shortly is very exciting because those of us who are in the e-lit world, you heard a little bit this morning about the limited sort of publication opportunities. And this is a book that came out on Penguin, which is a major commercial press, obviously, but one that includes an online component, a director piece that Stephanie will be showing us now. So, Stephanie Strickland.
Okay, what I actually need is to be able to see the computer keyboard with it. Okay. Is that too bright for you also?
It's a pain. Yeah. It's really bright in my book.
Yeah.
Can you see?
Not really, but... we'll see. We'll see how that works. Yeah. Okay.
Your tape.
What are you doing?
I'm going to move. Yes.
So then I can't. Oh, so that.
This is going to help.
Don't put it on the mouse.
Don't put it on the mouse. You're going to come around the other side of this and shine it against the wall.
Well, that's right. Let me just try to stumble around in this. No, I don't think that's not good.
Doesn't help you at all?
No.
All right, we're going to forget it.
Okay, all right. So now, if I... All right. So you'll understand that I can't see what I'm doing here. Okay. All right. An old name for poet is maker. An old form of poem is oral. A poem that's a constant recreation of variations, no one of which is the original, with respect to which the others are derivative. Software lets us write by making things. Time-based work yields variations without an original. Poems can become not only games, but instruments continually reactivated as we play them. A kind of translation experience. Translation, as Benjamin and Brecht think of it, translation as performance. My poem, V, is a poem of migration distributed across 2 online locations and an invertible 2-in-1 print book. A reviewer of this book said that I was asking for much more than his attention. I was asking for his transformation into a different kind of reader, and this is true. V, visually, is the V of an open print volume that holds the web address from either direction for this site that you see here, theviniverse.com, that opens that location on screen. Another part of V is the flash poem, Errand Upon Which We Came, which was created in collaboration with M.D. Coverley. Errand speaks explicitly as and about new reading experience. Today I want to read from and talk about the Viniverse, which was created in collaboration with Cynthia Lawson. Our first media is the sky, with its ever-changing, unerasable cast of marks. This is our sun, and we're looking up out through the Pleiades and out toward Vega, which is a view 12,000 years in the future, when Vega will be our North Star. V also looks back 12,000 years and more to the Ice Age. Nomadic humans of the Ice Age lived on what I call the star body grid. Relying on photons and neurons, they had to outthink winter by reading the sky, by learning to count, to keep track. They also had to read their bodies. Conception had to occur about Midsummer Night's Eve to give newborns the best chance at survival. Today, by contrast, in the developed world, we live on the power grid, the electronic grid. We rely on code, on electrons, and quantum effects. The V-universe actually brings these two grids together. And it's dedicated to Simone Weil, the philosopher mystic who focused our attention on what the body knows and how. The V-universe is a continuous present of varying forms, like the night sky, in which readers trace their own path. The V-universe, though full of destinations, does not offer an immediate response to the reader's presence. It is she who has to choose to read the stars. So how does it work? Like finger paint. Tell you, it would be really nice to see here. Okay. If I swing or sweep my hand across the sky, fleeting images appear. Not really images, diagrams, that outlines, that sort of disappear as if they were diving back underwater. But if I linger on a star, I release its constellation, its keyword, and the spelling out text of a numbered triplet. If I catch the star with the pressure of a click, the diagram stabilizes temporarily permanent, and I can now explore it on screen. So if I trace it without clicking, virginity, meander, life, keyholes, suspect, subside, writhing, bone, lend, breasts, vulval, flying, stunned, red, water, writhing, I get an associated set of keywords, sort of a little compressed poem. Now if I click on a star, I release the text of a wave sonnet. Each one begins not as it does in print, but rather with the chosen triplet. And it doesn't assemble sequentially, but in relation to that triplet, which displays in color, while the other lines display in white. If I persist, if I click that same star again, I will change the form to a set of triplets. And repeated clicking will toggle these forms, oscillating between them. I can make everything disappear with a click of the darkness, or I can press a next. To keep reading in the same constellation. Whether or not I'm reading a wave sonnet or a triplet or the forms of decay, I can simultaneously sweep my hand across the sky and read text that either overlays, is overlaid by the present sonnet, or displays an association with it, so that I can combine most of the elements in that way. We bring to this scene what the Ice Age reader brought to the circling sky. Either our impulses go here, go there, follow our nose and instincts, or we bring survival-oriented questions. For people of the Ice Age, how to intersect with the migrating animals, or how to keep from bearing children when the temperature was minus 60 degrees. The sky becomes a kind of sibyl or oracle, a constructed relation to the natural world probed with calculations. Our sibyl in space can be explored by entering any star's number in the dial, and I'd like to do a short reading today based on my question today, which is, when we go from moment poems to movement poems, the body is activated, but, and this is where it would be so nice to see. Okay, no, that's right. Whose body? Whirled over water, meander, serpentine cup mark you, adjoining its inverse, upside down you, please imagine yourself. Whose body? Circuit, not a circuit as it is now, incised by the woman's or the robotic hand on the golden wafer. That's not from me. Is it?
This happened in LA.
Oh, you're kidding me. Tomorrow, she craves that drift, but this is her. Whose body? And five, she mapped who veers as she flies, who carries the tilted earth on her back. Whose body? That drummer in control during ritual, but not of it. That drummer in control during ceremony, barely of it, has changed his name. He plays Nintendo on the virtual causeway to the titular sea. He is a mystery fan. Is it really you? He longs to say, but I swim away. Whose body? There is a woman in a conical hat. When we chain her waist with dice and cards, a punished witch, the Jack of Knaves comes up at 128, the one who stole her tart. She will sit on a bird or a broom or an axle tree or a mill wheel grinding. She keeps time, timely, and you know her. Green, great circle, noon. Whose body? Or was an inner sense of hearing counting lost when the children stopped coming together in a brood in the easy spring conceived at midsummer? Whose body? Screech owl nailed to the barn house door, blows raining down on her, faggots heat, the persecutor's desire. Whose body? Blank birds, they blend into one name, Philomel. Medieval story of the nightingale, pressing her breast onto thorns, who can't remember why she mourns. A real witch doesn't cry. A real witch can't float. Weigh her down. If she drowns, you are correct in your suspicions. Someone, somewhere, saw once, for the first time, a rape. But which of them knew it? whose body the woman who fails to inhibit her speech. Whose body? The giants who offered toys, a top, a mirror, jointed dolls, knucklebone dice. Whose body? At the quantum basis of all that is stable, numeric and morphic play with each other. Not whether, but when. Or is the body not in these verses at all? Is it in the dipper, the fetus, infinity, the other constellations? The extraordinary likeness of the female uterus and fallopian tubes to the head and horn of a bull can be seen in the Neolithic birth shrines and rebirth. The child who went to the bull or to the dolphin, the girl. And I'll close with this. A child sleeps for 100 years behind the briar hedge. One prick of blood. Fear in the nursery, uninvited guest, a spindle gift. If we understood red, her web blocking the path, glistening in sun as the strong door to dust, as a form of strong transparency, protecting the chalice, the bear, the canting horn, filigreed, veined with dark. Indra's net, canter dust. Do there exist beings where all take each other into account in their very core? The smallest particles, renormalized photons. Krill stains the snow and the breasts of the penguins. 1/10 of a second, the time it takes to recognize your mother. From 100 million retinal dots, pixels, to one word, is it really you, I long to say. Skim and teeter of a moving balance, her beret, Simone's as she stands at prayer, very slightly. Swaying. Swaying in the air above her, an emerald darner hovers. That, I think, she hears, but does not see. Thank you.